Bhunaktu Sahariyan Karavavahai Tejasvinavati Tamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 1 Adhikarna 2 Description of the Purusha Avatars Anucheda 4, page 22. The third Purusha is described as follows. Some yogis meditate upon the Paramatma, measuring one Pradesh, who is residing in the heart within the body, and who holds the lotus, wheel, conch, and club in his four hands. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:2-8. A Pradesh is the distance between the forefinger and the thumb. Right? So, you know, so that much. So he's that big. Hridyapekshaya tu manu shadi karatvat. The Lord is said to be the size of a thumb because of the heart size of humans. We are qualified for meditation in the heart. Brahma Sutra 1:3-25. This verse is spoken by Sukadeva.
Right. I think Pradesha, when we are measuring some height, we always show like this. But when we have to measure the distance, we always show like this. That's why it's stretched. And this one is generally, we show when you have to show something height, we always give like
show
this.
Like this.
But we measure distance and we show like this, straight.
Oh, okay.
It's a general notation. That's why then maybe the Pradesha is used for measuring something on a height.
It's also used in the yajnas and everything else. It's a standard. Like that. But this is, I think you have different also ones. So you also have there or even to here. That, you get that. You know, so you have the ones to here. So you have, depending upon what you're doing, you have the different, the thumb to one of these fingers. So the biggest will be that. That will be the biggest. Right? So the Pradesha will be smaller. Because they always say like 6 inches. Because this is 9. You know. So this will be shorter. Also the size of the thumb, because it also means from here to here, which is the same as that. So that's why I say the size of the thumb, because when they say thumb, they don't mean this part, they mean the outside part, here. That's the thumb. So that's the same as...
So this is the size of Paramatman, right?
That long, yeah. That,
yes,
that
it's quite big.
Yes, so actually, since we're 1/10,000, the tip of the hair, he's
yes.
quite big. Yes.
Yes.
And it's proportionate according to the size of the living entity.
Yes. So a bigger living entity, bigger. So an elephant will have, Paramatma will be bigger, blue whale bigger than that, Timangili even bigger than that. You know,
actually, if the Paramatma is so big, and we cannot even be aware of that, or even think about it.
Yes,
someone.
Yes.
No, it's
yes, it's an interesting point. Somebody's sitting there with you all the time, and we don't even know he's there. In fact, we'll say, no, nothing's there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why you see Bhaktisiddhanta says what Thakur is saying about this pride of the living entity, how they're God or there's no God. It's a very great pride. Something so small can think that they're so big. It's just one of the things to know. But the point is that the Lord comes with every living entity. It means to make the material manifestation, then he comes, then each individual universe, then he comes in that, and then each living entity, he comes within that. So the point is, the Lord always comes with the living entity. The living entity is always with the Lord. There's no question of them not being with the Lord.
Yes, so, but we forget.
Yeah, no. We tend to forget. Seems to be a standard. Vriti, having elaborated on the appearance of the three Purushas, next in the Anuchedas 5, 6, and 7, the omnipotence and all-pervasive nature of the Lord is elucidated to establish that the Paramatma present in the hearts of various living entities are non-different. Anucheta 5. Though the Purushas are many, they are actually one. An example is given to illustrate this. Just as the air enters all moving and stationary beings as prana and controls them, the Supreme Lord Vasudeva, the knower of all bodies, pervades everywhere, enters this universe. Pervading everywhere enters this universe. Atma Swarupena means with the prana. Ishet means he controls. Idam refers to the universe. Shruti says, Eko Deva Sarva Bhuteshu Gudaha Sarva Vyapi Sarva Bhutan Taratma Karamad Yaksha Sarva Bhuta Dvivasha Sakshi Cheta Kevalo Nirgunascha. The Lord alone has entered all beings. He is all-pervading. He is the antaryami of all beings. He is the controller of karma. He is the basis of all beings. He is the witness and giver of consciousness. He is the possessor of shakti. He is beyond the gunas. Sweta Svatara Upanishad 6.11. This verse was spoken by Jarabharata to Rahugana. Yeah, the same up here. In the Anucheta 4, this verse is spoken. You could drop that.
Yes,
please. Anucheta 6. The oneness is further explained. Eka eva paro hyatma sarvesham api dehinam. Naneva griyate mudher yata jyotir yata nabha. Those who are bewildered perceive the Paramatma, residing in all embodied beings, as many, just as one may perceive reflections of light or sky in pots. Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's one person, even though he has all these different manifestations. So it's not that it's different people, it's the one person. But he expands and he's in everyone's heart. Like that. So that's why the example is given of the one sun and all the pots. But that doesn't mean that he's not there. He personally is there in every heart. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:54-44. Dehinam means of the jivas. Atma means Paramatma. Baladev spoke this to Rukmini. That's far out. Like that. Anucheta 7. The one Paramatma is situated within all material bodies and within everyone's soul. Just as the moon is reflected in innumerable reservoirs of water, every material body is the effect of Paramatma. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:18-32. The one supreme, Para, Atma, lives in all jivas, Bhuteshu, in his Surup, Atmani, and is not contaminated like the jivas. Paramatma is identified, Ekatmakani, with the jiva's body since he is its cause. The Lord spoke thus to Uddhava. So he's the cause of the body, right? Means the living entity, you can say, is the cause. He has a material body because of the karma, the consciousness and the karma of the living entity. But the point is that the living entity, the body is produced by the Lord through his energies. Because the jiva can't produce the body. Because otherwise, if we could, why can't we keep it the way we like or what we don't like, we change? You know, it's like, I'm going to be going traveling, so, you know, there's no leg room anymore, so, you know, let's, you know, be about, you know, 4'5", 6", you know, like that. Then when we get there, okay, we got, you know, then you're going through the thing, then, you know, how you say, you're going through the airport, it's very long distance, so now we'll be, you know, 8'10", you know, so that we just get down there first and everything like that. You know, for the long legs, and then when we're going to go out the front gate, you know, so no one will give any trouble. Well, okay, then we'll, you know, 6'4", but we'll be about, you know, 500 pounds, you know, just pure muscle, you know, walking out the door. You know, everyone, okay, don't bother this guy. So we'd just be doing that, but we're not. What we are, we just are. So Paramatma, he produces the body according to our karma. the Lord spoke thus to Uddhava, Vritti. Having elaborated on the appearance of the three Purushas, the next few Adhikaranas initiate the discussion on Paramatma's Amshas. There are two types of Amshas, Swamsha and Vibhinamsha. Swamsas are various, with types like Gunavatars and Leelavatars. The Gunavatars are elaborated in the next Adhikarana. Right? And the Vibhinamshas will be the Jivas. Yes?
Here we're talking specifically about Swamsas and Vibhinamshas, or the Purusha avatars, not the Krishna himself. Is that correct?
I mean, they're all Krishnas, because they originally go back, but you're just taking it down when you get to here, then the expansions. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, they're all Krishnas. Because it's Krishna who's doing that. It's Krishna's... Everything's happening by Krishna's will. So by his will, he's expanding like this to take care of all these different aspects. But they're pointing out that there's going to be different, that there's going to be the expansions as Vishnu Tattva, and there's going to be the expansions as Jiva Tattva. So the Jivas expand then from the Lord. Right? Yes.
In the description, it is given like Krishna, then Swayam, and then next is Tadekatma Rupa. Within the Tadekatma Rupa, then Purushavataras, and then the Swamshas, everything comes.
Okay. So it's within that category,
Tadekatma.
But it's all coming from Krishna. So Tadekatma means it's expanded form, but different personality. Like that.
Different
mood. Like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Is that okay? Adhikarana 3. Swamsas of the Paramatma, Gunavatars. Adhikarana Prakashika. Serious. Having established the supremacy and all-pervasive nature of the Paramatma, next, the author, Srila Jiva Goswami, elaborates on the Amshas of the Paramatma. There are two types of Amshas, Swamsha and Vibhinamsha. The Vibhinamshas are the Jivas, composed of Tathasta Shakti. Swamshas are various types like Gunavatars and Leelavatars. The current Adhikarana focuses on the Gunavatars of the Lord. The first three Anuchedas, 8, 9, and 10, illuminate how the one Purusha expands into three Gunavatars for the purpose of creation, maintenance, and annihilation of each individual universe. The three Gunavatars are described in Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. In the beginning, the Purusha appeared as Brahma through Raja Yoga for creation, as Vishnu, the Lord of Sacrifice and protector of Dharma of the Brahmas, for maintenance, and as Shiva through Tamagun for destruction. In this way, creation, maintenance, and destruction of the living entities takes place at all times. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:4-5. Having discussed the appearance of the three Gunavatars and their respective functions of creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the universe, Srila Jiva Goswami next elucidates on the supremacy of Vishnu over Brahma and Shiva. He cites the incident where the sages plan to send Bhrigu Muni to test who is supreme among the three Gunavatars. After carefully examining the three personalities, Bhrigu discerns that Vishnu is supreme. Also, Lord Vishnu can give liberation to the devotees who worship him without material desires, whereas other demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma can only give temporary relief from the sufferings by providing material facilities to their devotees. Thus, Lord Vishnu is superior to all the demigods because he is always situated on the platform of pure goodness. The results obtained by worshiping him are of superior nature. Right? So, one is trying to get free from difficulty, but Brahma and Shiva can only give material facility, a better facility. Like you don't have something, he can give you that. But then you'll suffer from having that. Right? Yeah. Well, Vishnu then goes beyond. You become transcendental. Having established the suppressed supremacy of Lord Vishnu in the last few minutes.
In the last few anicca, should be removed. Means these are all part of anicca that's in the same adhikarana.
Okay, so it's just having established the supremacy of Lord Vishnu, The author next addresses the doubt raised by people inclined to Rajasic and Tamasic scriptures regarding the supremacy of Lord Vishnu. They opine that many scriptures, including Srimad Bhagavatam, state that Brahma and Shiva are non-differ from Vishnu, and differentiating between them leads one to hell. In order to clarify these doubts, the author further sheds lights on this topic by describing the cause of non-difference and difference among the three lords. Right, because you have to have the aspect that's non-different because it's all Krishna. But at the same time as the Visesha, they are different. They don't have that potency of Krishna. Just because they're non-different doesn't mean they're the same. Right? It means in manifestation or in potency or in like this. So, yes?
So if we look at the philosophy, how it developed historically, we see always that, you know, some, they point out the difference between the Lord and the living entity.
Yes.
And then they deify God.
Mm-hmm.
But then the others, they see mainly unity.
Yes.
Which shift them towards Mayavad.
Yes.
So that balance, it's actually, we don't see in history anywhere.
Yes.
Because it's not the part of the material nature. It's either this or that.
Yes. There's only duality.
So there's no balance.
No. So only Achintabheda Beda Tattva gives that full balance.
Yeah.
Means you see the acharyas, by discussing their points all the time, then they'll keep people in line. But you see, if that drive is not there, then they tend to get distracted. You know, it's like it's mentioned, the Tattvavadis, they get distracted. They get too much into, you know, so in other words, it's about performing these duties and all that to please Vishnu, but then the please Vishnu part tends to step to the back and it's just performing your duties. So they tend to just see it from themselves. So that's the weakness. That's why there's no balance. Because they either see it that, like you said, there's the difference between the two, and so it's about me, or there's the oneness of the two, and it's I'm that one. Right? So it's always self-centered. That's the difficulty. So pure devotion means it's not about ourselves. We're servants. And so then it takes on the proper balance. So if pure devotion is understood through any of the, you know, proper philosophies, you know, Vaishnava presentations, then you'll come to the proper level. I mean, of pure devotion. It'll bring you to the spiritual realm. But you'll see is that full balance won't be there until you get to Achintabheda Beda Tattva, and that will bring you to Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is the most, you know, he's the Supreme Lord, but that's not the important aspect. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes?
Also, we see that where the oneness is, we are all like the part of the same Shakti, in the sense we are meant to serve the Supreme Lord.
Yes.
And then as the Purusha, then he's independent Lord and everybody else is dependent. There the difference is
clear. Aha, okay.
But in one sense, all the philosophies, they reverse that. Like Vedanta, Advaitavadis, though they are discussing about Purusha, they say oneness, they speak about oneness, and then others who discuss about the Shakti, the lower five, they always discuss about the difference.
Yeah, about the difference, or the Shakti Supreme, and then we are the same thing, then we merge with Shakti. So in other words, you're going to merge with something. Yeah. You don't have the serving attitude. That's the essential point. Because there's always going to be a difference, but the same, because everything is Krishna, they're all the same. But at the same time as he, because he being who he is and everything else being energy, there's a difference between the energetic and energy. And so there's going to you're going to see is that left, we talk in position, Krishna sees the oneness because it's all him. The jiva sees the difference. Right? But then in seeing that difference, then we serve. We're dependent. Right? He's independent, we're dependent. You know, but they always like to take it, we're independent. And then he's dependent upon how much you know, how gracious we are towards him, on how much he's God or not. You know, so at the same time, as we see, is that when we're dealing with you know, processes, then Krishna, it's about the rules, and the jiva, it's about the spontaneity, right? Because everything being him, then therefore how you deal with him, it's about his desire. So how you deal with him is according to the way he wants to be dealt with, right? And so that's therefore, even you see within the spontaneous, they're still following rules, but it's not the rules that make, that create the spontaneity. I'm not interested in the Lord because of the rules. I'm interested in the Lord, and the rules then support so that I serve properly. Does that make sense? So the jiva, then they are in that way, then there's that oneness of the mood, like that. So you see, there's the oneness, and then Krishna is about the rules. It's different. Well, he sees, you know, when you call it about tattva, it's everything's him, so it's one. We see the difference.
Yes, yes.
So that's the thing. It, depending on the situation, it will change. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like husband. There's myself and there's my wife, and we're together, right? You know, for the wife, it's, I'm the wife, and you know, this is what's connected to me.
My property.
Yeah, yeah. Just in other words, there's the individuality is enough for a practical thing, but otherwise that oneness is there. Does that make sense? The mood and all that.
Yes.
You know, so it's that spontaneous. It's based on the spontaneous. It's based on that. Well, sometimes the man will be more on what's the rule, what's the this and that, and doesn't consider.
Yes.
But that's because we're not the man. Mm-hmm. You know, so Krishna doesn't have that problem. So that's why he's attracted by that spontaneous affection. So it's going to attract him more, because he is tattva. So then when the living entity is attracted to him in this rati, that's going to be more attractive to him than just following the rules. Because following the rules, you're supposed to follow the rules, because you can't not follow the rules.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question of it. You know, you want to go out of the room, you have to go out the door. You can't go out through the wall. Does that make sense? You know, so it's just the way it is. So it's no big deal that you're following the rules. Okay, that's nice. You know, and because you're following, then he'll reciprocate.
Yes.
But when it's spontaneous that you're worshipping him out of affection, that then attracts his attention, because that's unique. It's all him, but at the same time, is within this capacity, is there's this this aspect of attraction to him. So when it's applied to him, we see the jiva is glorious. They go back to Godhead. When it's applied to the material energy, then they're nityabada. Applied to Krishna, nityasiddha. So.
Yes, also we see in the Puri Lila, which we read, then it's a perfect blend of Vaidhi and Rag Sadhana followed by Mahaprabhu.
Yes.
Because we hear he's regularly visiting the Sri Mandir. He's regular in his eating, you know, bath, this, that.
Yes.
But then when he discusses with Ramananda Rai and Swarup Dhamma, then he experiences the highest bliss.
Yes.
But otherwise, during the day, he's just normal sadhaka like everybody else.
Yes. Yes. See, the thing is you have rag. It's just like, if we look at the energies, then, you know, samvit sandini ladini. Okay, now the experience, the bliss, is the point. That's where the Icha Shakti is to taste that bliss. That bliss is happening by what arrangement? Right? The devotees performing the pastimes with Krishna. And they're not going to just do anything they want. We're not talking about a bunch of hippies here. You know, they're just, I felt like doing this. Oh, what happened? You know, I thought we were doing lunch. Well, I felt like this. You know, we're not talking that kind of jazz. You know, so it's according to what actually works. You know, it's like if Radharani and her associates are going to meet Krishna at Govindastali, that means from where Radharani's living, she basically has to go southeast. Right? She can't go another direction. Well, why don't we go west? I mean, it doesn't matter, you know? No, like we said, they're not hippies. Right? So therefore, then they go that direction. And how do they go? They just lay down on the thing and just think we'll float there and not? No, they walk. You know? And how do they walk? Do they walk backwards, you know, because it's good for health and all that? No, they walk forward. You know, they don't do the crab thing going sideways, you know, the Mr. Bean stuff, you know, like that. No, they just, so it's like that. And then, where is that all happening? Just in space, in the clouds, like the Hindus will, you know, they imagine, right? No, it's happening in the Dham. So Sandini is manifesting the Dham. Sambit, it means that's the knowledge potency. Then through that, they're performing their activities. But the whole point is to please Krishna. So the rag is the main point, that attachment to Krishna. That then there's forms to express that, and there's environments in which that works. The expression works best. Right? You know, you don't hear of them doing Rasa dance on the treetops or something. You know, that's for you know, Tinkerbell and her friends. Right? You know, so. They how you say? Or if you're from Wudan, then it will be on top of bamboo, right? So, it's just, you have what you do, and it's already established by the Lord, but that's just the way you do things. But it's the rag that makes it interesting. That's the thing. You know, it's just like, you're going to eat lunch, you know, with a friend. You can just sit there and eat and this and that. But it can be, it's a very lively conversation, or the mood's very nice, or things like that. Then that's a lunch you'll remember. But the eating process didn't change. You know? It's not that when you start off it's very formal, and as they get more ecstatic, they're eating with both hands, and then after a while more hands come out, and then, you know. No. It's the same thing. So that's, it's a very major, because of our concept of situation, you know, because of our situational awareness, you know, of Krishna's energies and how to control and enjoy it, you know, and then the knowledge and skills to control and enjoy it. I want to have the knowledge and skills and have the proper situation in which I can control and enjoy. That's our whole focus, you know, and the enjoyments are. So we're still working on these three principles. Right? It's just that they're perverted. So many times it's thought that the rag bhakti, it's another form. But it's not. It's the same form. The only difference will be is only those forms that are useful in expressing the rag will be there. And it's not whimsical. Right? It's not whimsical like we see in the drama. You want to express a certain sentiment. There's a very specific way of standing, the arms, the face, the eyes, the voice, the tone that you're using, the force that you're using, the language that you're using, how you're saying, everything goes together. And it's a science, nectar devotion, it's a science. Right? It doesn't say, you know, how you say, bhakti rasamrita sindhu, the whimsical flamboyance of individuals who, you know, want to have some emotional experience in context of Krishna if they feel like it. Right? That's not the subtitle. Right? So, that's a very major thing, is that you see the lives of all, like you're pointing out, the Lord Chaitanya and his devotee, very regulated, exact, what they do, this and that, and everything's the same. But the mood with why they're doing it is that's the nicest thing for Krishna. That's, they want to do this because it pleases Krishna. So that's why Lord Chaitanya then has a problem Because then you could say, oh, well, then the Tattvabhadis are right. You just do your duties, Varnashram duties or like that, offer the results to the Lord, and you'll go back to Godhead. But the point is it's not about the duties. It's you have to do anything, you have to do it in a situation with knowledge and skills. You can't do it outside of that. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing is they go together. But you have to know which is superior, which is junior. Just like Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman, they're one person, one entity. And so then you see is they all go together. But what's supreme is Bhagavan. He's the source. So each is the source. So that they have the knowledge and skills and control the environment for creating a result for Krishna, that will be the aspect of Paramatma. That it's situated in the Dhamma, that there's a place, an existence of everything, that's Brahman. So these three features are there, but you only see Bhagavan. On the material world, if you're lucky, you'll see Brahman or Paramatma. Otherwise...
Well, rarely Paramatma.
Yeah, but I'm saying even Brahman, they'll experience, but they don't know that that's what it is. So here, I think, what do you call it? Bupkis? That's what you get. That's the material world. You don't get anything. So this is you could say is the secret. That's why you see there's a balance, because otherwise the sahajya is just it's all mood and there's no rules. But they have very strict rules how they don't have any rules. Like you want to see an absolute riot when all the Babaji's or let's say in Raghunath Das Goswami's appearance day or something, you know, very important, where all the sahajis are sitting down there at Raghunath Goswami's samadhi there at, Radhakund there. You know, they're all sitting there and it's all like that and they're going to take prasad. Everyone's sitting there. Inquire, who are the top guys? Where are the head guys? You know, who are the big mahants here? Go down and sit down next to them. Just walk right up, sit down like you belong there. And you'll see you'll have the most absolute riot that could ever happen. The indignation, the thinking out, and the yelling and screaming and rolling on the ground and, what do you call it, gnashing of teeth and pulling of sikas and, you know, like that. It'll all be happening right there. Because they have so many rules, they just won't follow what the Lord gives and make up their own. So you can't not have these three. It's impossible. Because why? Everything is Krishna. And Krishna is the rules. Right? Being tattva, that means this is how it works. So there is not another way to do it. Right? That's all. And so then that's the whole point, is that you perform the activities of sadhana with attachment to Krishna, with that spontaneity. That's what we're trying to get to. And so, by the process of Vaidhi, it will bring us to that spontaneous platform. You know, if one's naturally at that platform, you know, like, then that's very nice. Like, you see Prahlad Maharaj is naturally inclined to the Lord. Like that. But it may take us a little bit longer. You know, but by the process, as we said, then there'll be the beginning is that has faith, that'll turn into steadiness, that'll turn into taste. And you see with taste, that's where spontaneity begins. Right? Does that make sense? It can't begin any less than that, because Bhaktivinoda Thakura is explaining that you have rati, right? You have prema. If you divide prema into 100 parts, you know, you have, they're all like parts of rati, like 100 parts. So 100 parts of rati, then that will be prema. It'll be full. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, he's just working on the principle, he's saying 100%. Yes. So you take one of those units of rati, right? And then a portion of that is what is extending down through shraddha. Shraddha up to bhava. Okay. Right? And so Very small amounts. But the point is because it's reality, it's much greater than anything you can get in the material world, including being Brahma, getting liberation, being Indra. It won't compare to just this fraction of Rati. Right? Then when it gets to taste, ruchi nasakti, now you're dealing with more, but it doesn't have the intensity. Then, when it comes to bhava, then it'll start to all the things fall in place as you move through, you know, the bhava sadhana until it comes to prema. Then it's complete. So, yeah. So it's a very difficult point because of the simultaneously one and difference. We're used to different thing, completely different. You know, it's just like, let's say, for a devotee, he's sitting around the house, you know, like that. He wears his dhoti and chadar. He's going to the temple, dhoti and chadar. He's going to give the class, dhoti and chadar. He's going to do puja, dhoti and chadar. He's going to go, you know, visit some, you know, big guy, dhoti and chadar. It doesn't. So the one thing, it works for everything. You know? Does that make sense? But in the karmi world, it's like, you know, even for the evening, and if you get into the higher society in that, even in the evening you might be wearing two or three outfits. You know? What you wear to dinner will be different than what you're sitting around in afterwards, or if you go out it'll be different than that again. You know, and the day outfit would be different than the evening outfit. You know, like things like the jacket and stuff, you know, like that. So we're used to it has to be completely different. But the point is here is because there's one mood of dealing with Krishna. The external situation, it's all Krishna's, it doesn't change for us. Because we see it all connected to Krishna, so then what we're dealing with, we're always dealing with Vrindavan. So for us, it doesn't really change. You might, first etiquette-wise, adjust a little bit for those around you. You're dealing in material environment and that. But otherwise, you follow the things that devotees do, like the etiquette on Trinadapi Sunichena Toronapi Sahishnuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari. If you apply that in any situation with any living entity, no matter how big or small, how important or not, it'll always work. It's not a different system.
Right? I mean, we see the example of Gop Kumar. He never changed his dress.
No. Yeah, he just
he
moved
went all the way up, down, up.
Yeah, and then when he goes to Vrindavan, there he is. Now he fits in. You know,
some appreciate it more, some less, but he wouldn't care.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is that because we know what we're doing is right. It's just like, let's say someone's doing something right. They have the knowledge, they have the experience. There's some people who don't have the knowledge, don't have the experience. They say you're doing it wrong. Do you actually care? No. So that's the whole point. Is this whole thing, oh, you have to care what they say. No, you don't. They don't care what you think. So, you know, and so we just care what Krishna thinks. But the point is because everything is Krishna's, Krishna's already considered all these things. And so therefore, if you're humble, you're tolerant, you're respectful to others, not looking for respect, it doesn't matter what living entity you deal with. You know, you could deal with Brahma like that, Shiva like that, Indra like that, the Gandharvas like that, you know, the king like that, the big ministers like that, the rich man like that. You know, the men, the women, even the animals you deal like that, then they'll deal with you properly. You know, isn't it? I mean, Snow White, right? She does everything and all the animals come and help out, you know, because she deals with that according to that verse.
No? We have this experience in Vrindavan because animals sometimes, especially foreigners, because we're city people, we don't know how to deal with animals.
Right, right.
So, you know, they seem to be aggressive. But if you're humble, like you mentioned in another bit, they don't actually notice you at all.
No.
They don't care unless you have something valuable for them. But if not,
like some glasses or a bag of peanuts.
Yeah, bananas. But yeah. Otherwise, they think you one of them.
They don't care. They don't, as long as you're not. Yes.
The previous in charge of the Goshala,
when I was there, I was talking with him. He was inside the cow shed.
Right.
And then I was outside. He was talking with me and we were discussing, and the cow came and just hit him. And he told me, you know why she hit me? Hmm. Because I was talking to you. I was not paying attention to her.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, like that. If you have a relationship, they expect attention. But if you don't, then that's also just like if, let's say there's a bird sitting on the side of the road. If you don't look at it and just keep going and have a nice mood and stay a little to the side, then they'll just sit there. But if you keep looking at it or pointing at it, then it'll go. Yeah, so that's the thing. It's universal. This one verse in etiquette works everywhere. Everything in etiquette comes out of that one verse. So it's like you have the universal etiquette, and then we're talking about, oh, we have to do this, we have to do that, and oh no, we can't do yak like devotees. It's like, you know, what are they talking about? You know, and if something has to be changed, that means maybe they're not acting like devotees. You know, and then you could say, see, they're not acting like devotees. But then the problem is that person complaining doesn't have the knowledge and knows either. So the one is not acting as, and the other ones don't know what is proper. And so therefore, then you have to turn to the karmas. So that's the thing, is Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, what they did attracts everyone's attention. You know, it's like some devotee was pointing out that they kind of, you know, looked into it, did a bit of a study of it, you know, just in Prabhupada's pastimes, or at least noted it, you know, going through Lilamrita and their experience with Prabhupada, that everybody thought he was a gentleman. Even people who didn't like him, he was a gentleman. Like that. So that's the... So it's nice thing. So that's where the Achinta Beta, the importance of the Achinta Beta Beta Tattva, that we can able to see that there's two inconceivably opposing elements that aren't opposing because they're connected to Krishna. Because you're going to have these two, you're going to have Tattva and Rasa, they seemingly opposed to each other. Right? So you're always going to have these kind of things. And because of that, that's why we have to follow the acharyas. If we want it to be logical by our own material brain, we'll never figure it out. We absolutely can't. But if we take shelter of Krishna, then and the acharyas, then we can understand. Because Krishna's sitting in the heart, he reveals. But he's only reveals when we have that attitude of servant of the servant of the servant. Yeah, so I mean that comes from Lord Chaitanya, right? Gopi Bhartu Padakamala, or Dasa Dasa Anu Dasa, servant of the servant of the servant. Okay.
Just a small question. When he said the Vibhidamsha are the Jiva.
Yes.
Sometimes we say the jiva are also part of tatastha.
Yes, the vibhinamsa, that's just a technical term for the individual jivas. It says here, the vibhinamsas are the jivas composed of tatastha shakti. So their tatastha shakti is the generic, and the individual living entity is the jivas.
Okay.
Does that make sense? You know, just like sandini potency is producing the dham.
Yes.
So yeah, it's not a problem. Okay. They opine that many scriptures, including Srimad Bhagavatam, state that Brahma and Shiva are non-different from Vishnu, and differentiating between them leads one to hell. In order to clarify these doubts, the author further sheds light on this topic by describing the causes of non-difference and difference among the three lords. He describes that the three personalities are amsas of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and hence cannot be independent or absolutely different because the one Supreme Purusha, Vishnu, who is the source of the three personalities, is the ultimate controller. So in that way, because he's the ultimate controller, they can't be different. But because they're not the supreme controller, they are different. Just like the jiva is non-different from the Lord, because he's an energy. But because being an energy, he's dependent and the Lord's independent, so they're different. So on the material platform, we'll always get it reversed. Where we should be thinking one, we'll think two, and where we should be thinking two, we'll think one. You know, that was Lord Chaitanya's point. Was that the Sarvabhauma or the Prakashananda? Sarvabhauma. He says, you say the living entity being different from the Lord, that's, I mean, how you say? Different, say, the living entity, you know, we're saying is that he thinks he's an individual, different from the Lord. You say that's illusion. So you're saying that's one. And then at the same time as you're saying that the jiva is Brahman, is the supreme. When he's not, doesn't have that potency. He doesn't have he's minute. So they're always going to get it backwards. They're not consistent even in their oneness aspect. You know, it's where it pleases them, they'll say this too. They'll say we're different. If we're the same as the Lord, then even now in this form, we're non-different. No, this is illusion. Everything's one, but then there's Maya, and then there's the jivas. But how do you get that if there's only one? You know, like that. And so then they become God. You don't become God. If you're already one, then you're already. And so if you're already, how come you can't do anything? So therefore, we're dependent. We're dependent on the Supreme. Like, he makes the bodies. We don't make. Something?
No? This is a role of Maya to make us to reverse the reality.
Yes. That's ignorance. Ignorance means whatever is right you say is wrong, whatever is wrong you'll say is right. And so then you'll say, no, but I can tell right from wrong here. But that's within wrong, within the avidya shakti. Then we make a distinction, this is good avidya and that's bad avidya. And why? Good avidya means it's good for my senses, bad avidya means it's not good for my senses. Yes.
That aspect is a passion within the ignorance.
The passion within ignorance.
Where you see many things which are your own sense gratification. Where you can see many varieties for
ignorance. Right, yeah. Set, you know, like that. So then we see that. And so that becomes the basis.
Yes.
So then, that's why there's so much fight about this concept of doing duties, and we're not free, and it's so restricting, and all that, because I want to be able to go after sense gratification wherever I can find it. I don't want any rules restricting me that I can't do that.
Yes.
Because then it's just for, you know, I want to be, you know, completely lodged in the external energy. But if you want to get free, you have to start restricting, and so that you turn around. Like that. Because if I'm going for something and everything I do, it's all going nicely, then there's no problem. But if it's not going so well for me, I'll start to look elsewhere. So when I restrict it and all that, then I start to think, well, is this really worth it? Then I'll look for an alternative. And so that's the spiritual. So without regulation, because as we said, anyway, everything's regulated. The Astakaliya Leela, it's regulated. You know? It's not that there's no pastime where Mother Yashoda decides at 12 o'clock at night, midnight, to wake up Krishna and let's have a feast or something. Right? You know, it's not like, how you say, what was his name? Tenali Ram, you know, in the eggplant or something. Yeah?
They don't do that even when they are out on a picnic. Like during the fire one, in the night, on the bank, they still slept. After that, Kaliya.
Yeah.
Still slept.
They still slept. They didn't stay up all night. Yeah. So you don't see that there's a change like that, because why change perfect? That's the whole point. Is since Krishna is Tattva, everything's Him. He's perfect. That means everything's already perfect. It's already perfect and complete. You know, Om Purnam Adah Purnam. It's already perfect. So one simply has to follow. Right? Then you'll get the best thing. You could say, but then, you know, we see examples of devotees not following things nicely and getting a good result. That's because it wasn't available. So the point is the mood is what you're trying to do of pleasing Krishna, that rag. Then there's the knowledge and skills to apply to the situation to get. But if you don't have the situation, you don't have the knowledge. But if that sincere attitude is there to please Krishna, the effect is accomplished. Because the medium is simply there to express that mood. So if you have the facilities, why wouldn't you do it? You know, it's not like the 6,000 maidservants. They go, hey, you know, it only takes 100 of us to sweep the beach here, and so like that, you know, the other, 4,900, you know, we're going to go off and play poker or something. I don't know, you know, and wait for you guys until you're ready. Everybody is busy. So. Yes.
Also, in terms of Mayavad, if you look closely, that material is an upside down reflection of the spiritual.
Mm.
So that philosophy, like you mentioned, is
it's upside down. That's
so
a good
it's
point.
It's a perfect match.
Yes, yes.
That everybody, it's amazing, but it makes sense to everybody.
Yes.
You know, the Mayavad philosophy.
Everybody.
Because it's
upside down. That's interesting, because it's a reflection, it's upside down, therefore philosophy is upside down, and so therefore it all makes sense.
Vivekananda went, America is like...
Yeah, they didn't go, and they pride themselves in being intelligent, discerning, and they thought he was a great bloke. Yeah. What to do? Yes?
Well, that means the rules... actually are like the what you call the borders for the river of rasa to move on. Otherwise, if there are no borders, then it's like ocean still. The existence, like Brahman, when you say Brahman, there are no, in one sense, any rules for you just sit and meditate.
It's just existence.
It's existence. Just like the ocean is still, in one sense.
Mm.
But when there are restrictions because of which then the flow,
And the more refined the restrictions, the greater the movement. Yeah. So it's like that. The more you restrict, the better you get. Like that. So the Vedic is, all these restrictions are in line with what pleases Krishna. So it's just, how Krishna likes things done. The main thing is devotion. So that's why everybody, even if they're not very expert at all these things, they can still do. Like we can see is that if the devotees like do a drama and they're trying to please Krishna, so they put the pastime and as best as they know, they put it on and all that, Krishna will be happy, they'll be happy, the devotees watching will be happy, everything will be nice. You know, it's not dependent that, all these technical rules of the Natya Shastra. But now if they know all those and they can do it with that same attitude to please Krishna, then it'll be even more amazing. But if by learning all these rules they become proud of that, then they lose actually the essence. You know? And if you say, yeah, that's why we don't want to do all these things because we'll become proud, it says, then don't take up the corporate either. They're famous for being proud.
Corporate ones are like in the cities, they restrict the river so much that the river becomes dry.
Now it's in their backyard, right? It's a pool. Yeah. He describes that the three personalities are amsas of the Supreme Lord Vishnu and hence cannot be independent or absolutely different because the one Supreme Purusha Vishnu, who is the source of all of the three personalities, is the ultimate controller. But the difference is still evident because Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are indirect means of realization of the Supreme Brahman, whereas Lord Vishnu is Brahman himself. Right? So they're indirect like this because He's controlling everything, but if Vishnu he controls directly, then they're taken care of. Lord Shiva is always united with his personal energy, the material nature, and thus embodies the material ego in the three modes. Hence, the devotee of Lord Shiva may attain all material opulences by pleasing him, but cannot go beyond the modes on the other hand. On the other hand, the devotees of Lord Vishnu can attain liberation because Lord Vishnu is beyond the material modes. The author further details the position of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva in a relationship to the supreme Lord Vishnu by citing from the second canto, where Lord Brahma enlightens Narada on the highest and most secret knowledge of the absolute truth. Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Also, the statements in Bhagavatam describing the non-difference of Lord Shiva from Lord Vishnu is either to indicate that Lord Shiva is a gunavatar, different from Jiva, or to encourage him to perform the extraordinary feat of drinking the Kalakuta poison. The sages who realized the essence of all Vedic literatures describe Lord Narayana alone as the ultimate conclusion of the Vedas. Thus, Lord Vishnu is alone the supreme among the three guna avatars, and Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are the amsas that indirectly represent the supreme. So everything represents, because it's all Krishna, but Krishna directly represents himself. Therefore, the name is direct. Yes.
Lord Vishnu is Paramatma?
In this case, we're talking Paramatma, but it goes back to Krishna.
And in the heart of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, Vishnu resides?
Sorry?
In the heart of Brahma and
Shiva? Brahma and Shiva is Vishnu, yes. Also, he's in everybody's heart.
So if they are aware that Paramatma is there?
Yes, they're aware. That's the one thing, is they're able to understand. Yes. No one else is able to understand.
So the problem is the worshipper, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, who don't understand that...
No, they don't understand. That's the point. Because Brahma and Shiva understand, but their devotees may or may not understand. Like the Shaivites, they don't understand this. The worshippers of Brahma, they may or may not, but they're not worried about that. Okay. So that's why worshippers of Vishnu, they don't have to, they go straight back to Godhead. If you worship Brahma, or like that, then or you're the yogis and all this and that, then you know, then you're going to stay with Brahma until the end of his lifetime.
Yes.
You know, either in a form that you are able to interact until the end of his lifetime, or you merge into Brahma, and then at the end of his lifetime, when he leaves, then you also go.
Well, it seems that to understand the position with the Paramatma is also crucial, because we can open to Bhagavan, or we can open to Brahman.
Brahman, you go one way or the other.
Yes.
You can't stay in that Paramatma level. It has to be Bhagavan.
Yes.
So even if the aspect of it's more about the activity and the, you know, the environment and all that, you know, like majesty,
yes,
it's still they're worshipping Bhagavan.
Yes.
But it has more that flavor of Paramatma.
Yes.
You know, or the Shanta Bhaktas, then it'll be, it's Bhagavan with the flavor of Brahman.
Because
they're just seeing him everywhere and appreciating. Like that. But it's still all Bhagavan. So that's the whole idea. The Bhagavat Sandarbha then establishes that relation with Brahman and Bhagavan. Bhagavan. And then here it's now talking about Paramatma. And then the next one we'll talk about Krishna himself.
So in that description of how from the Swayam Bhagavan and all the expansions are there then the Prabhava expansion of Tadekatma Rupa is where all the Purushavatars are mentioned. Prabhava means the influence. And then when it comes to the Swamshas, that's where the Gunavatars are mentioned. So in one sense then influence, it's based on the influence, then we differentiate the three Purushavatars.
What kind of influence?
Yeah, what kind of influence they have, like totality of the all universe influence, or individual universe, or individual Jiva influence.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the Gunavatars, then we call that the Amsha. Amsha means it's they can have full, or they can have lesser potency, because of which then we describe Brahma and Shiva as indirect means rather than direct.
Yes.
And Lord Vishnu, though he's the Amsha, but he's full.
Yeah, and the Leela avatars are coming and performing some particular pastime.
And they are described in a separate category, which are Vaibhava Prakash, which is different mood for performing.
Good.
So that structure, I think, after this whole thing, then...
Maybe you should make a chart.
In Krishna Sandarbha, in Krishna Sandarbha, yeah.
Krishna Sandarbha is there. And because it's discussed there.
Yeah, because there then we come back to Leela avatars and how all the other expansions of Vishnu and all... connect back to Krishna.
Mm.
I think that's why I left it for there. Definitely will happen.
Yeah, but here when it comes up, you can always put it in footnotes.
Yeah, but I am not yet perfect on.
Yeah, when you understand it.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I don't think very many people are.
They have a chart in Lagu,
no? No, it's not.
Yeah, in Lagu Bhagavatam, they have.
Yeah, but
it's not descriptive enough.
We are not going to argue.
It's general.
Yes, so he's saying it, you can have more detail.
That description is there, like what is this? But now I can, like little bit we are elaborating based on here description. When everything becomes there, and then we can...
Then go more.
Go more and segregate exactly why it is like that. Nobody till now explained why it is like that.
Mm-hmm.
They just made segregation.
Just say that there are.
Yeah.
Yeah, then it makes it clear what's going on. So... the next Sandarbha.
coming soon.
Yes, coming soon.
And also in Chaitanya Charitamrita will come soon.
What do you call it? Coming soon in a kutir near you. Yes.
I think yesterday we mentioned that Sankarsana is a Paramatma for Lord Shiva, and then Pradyumna is for Lord Rama.
Yes, that's also that's a nice
because
there's that aspect because it's like you know how you say Kiradakshaya Vishnu because he's just maintaining, he creates the bodies for the living entities, he just maintains because that's all we do. But with Brahma, because he creates, then therefore Pajumna is his Paramatma. He's also that's his deity.
Yeah,
Garbhadaksha Vishnu, the thousand-headed Vishnu, and Lord Shiva. Then he's back with he's a little bit beyond Brahma's creation because he destroys it, right? If he's within it, he can't destroy it.
Yes.
Right, so then he goes back to Sankarsana, because Sankarsana is then the existence of everything. So that exists or not exists. That's Sankarsana. So then he's taking what's existing and making into non-existent. Well then, they call it Brahma is then taking what's there and then doing something with it. Right? You know, so that element of passion. So then Sankarsana is known because he deals with these things and all that, so that he has that aspect of tamasi. He deals with the ignorance. He's controller of that. And he's not influenced by it. You know, it's just like I mentioned before, is that we were talking about the how you address people. So you can address them by, you know, it means either their name, their particular title, their position, or the family, or even the country.
Yes.
You know, the community, or like this. Does that make sense? Like that. So then, like that, they can be And so, in any case, whichever way you're dealing, so because he's controlling these things, then he can be addressed by that also.
Yes.
So. Anucheda 8. Having explained that the one Purusha has many forms, now the Purushas, Paramatmas, Amshas will be described. There are two types of Amshas, Swamsa and Vibhinamsha. The Vibhinamshas are the jivas composed of Tathasta Shakti. Swamshas are various, with types like Gunavatars and Leelavatars. I think also another place that mentions Swamsha means that they have less, they're manifesting less potency than who they're expanding from. That's also one of the attributes of, because you have Swamsha as a group, and then within that you'll have various kinds, and they'll have their flavors. Does that make sense? So that's also another aspect. The Leela avatars will be explained in Krishna Sandarbha in the appropriate place. Then we'll get the chart.
in Krishna Sandarbha, it's more about like explaining the positions of all the avatars and the Lord and the devotees of the Lord. Mm. Physics, everything about Vrindavan, who is Radharani, who are all the Sakis, and establish the position. Mm. Then we go into Bhakti Sandarbha.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's within the, what do you call it?
Sambandha.
Within Sambandha, then you have these three flavors. You still have Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana within. The Gunavatars of the second Purusha are described as follows. In the beginning, the Purusha appeared as Brahma through Rajagun for creation, as Vishnu, the Lord of Sacrifice, and protector of Dharma, the Brahmins, for maintenance, and as Shiva through Tamagun for destruction. In this way, creation, maintenance, and destruction of the living entities takes place at all times. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.4.5.
Again, he quoted this verse.
Yeah, it's a good verse. So in other words, if it's repeated again, you know it's important. You can jot this one down. The controller of the three gunas, Sa Adya Purushaha, became Adbhut Brahma Sa Sata Drithi for creation of the universe, Asya Sarge, by Rajaguna, Rajasa, in the beginning, Adao, as a pastime for situating himself in the gunas. He became Vishnu, being situated, Stitao, by Sattvaguna. Sattvaguna, however, is not directly mentioned in order to say that it is improper to indicate that Vishnu, who is completely beyond the gunas, has even an indirect relationship with the gunas. So that's why you always say is that he maintains. And then Brahma, through Rajagun, he takes care. He's the incarnation of Rajagun. And Shiva is the incarnation of Tamagun. But it doesn't say that Vishnu is the incarnation of Sattvagun, because he's beyond the modes. You'll just put it that, you know, that's what he's doing, but he's doing it through pure goodness. So it's a subtle thing. Because the point is you could say, well, then why isn't there someone else then that is and does that? Because no one else can do. Only Krishna can maintain. How do you maintain something? Let's say you have something and you have to maintain it. What do you maintain it with? Right? Ingredients. So who provides the ingredients? Vishnu, right? Brahma doesn't. He just works with what's already there. Like I go to the market, buy so many things, bring it, put it in the kitchen. Now the cook can come in and do things with it.
Yes.
You know? Does that make sense? Like that. And then when you're not looking, you know, the kids and the dog come into the kitchen and eat everything, destroy everything, right? You know? Like that. So the whole point is they can't provide ingredients. They're coming from Vishnu. So therefore, he's the only one that can do it. So that's why then he comes down there, he comes and then he takes his position like a guna avatar, even though he's actually the source of the others. But in his feature, in this swamsha feature, then he takes on this and does this role, because no one else can. Just like in the universe, it's explained that when there's no qualified living entity for a particular post, then Krishna takes it himself. Like I think it was as Yajna, then he came and he was Indra. Because there wasn't anyone qualified to be Indra. So then he took the post.
So he's like the director of the place.
Yes.
If somebody missed, he can
do. Yeah, he can do it because he knows the whole thing. Yes, yes. Yes.
Also, that's how the connection establishes for the living entity back to the Lord in all levels. If there is Lord Vishnu is not connected in the mode of goodness and all, then all the yajnas performed and all.
Yeah, wouldn't get you to. Because he's the Lord of sacrifice. No one else is the Lord of sacrifice. You may be sacrificing for Indra. You know, but the point is it's still the sacrifice itself is able to be efficient because it is Krishna. And so he controls how that works. So if you worship Vishnu, you automatically take care of Indra.
Everybody in the material world who worships even Lord Vishnu, they see only the guna avatar, except for devotees?
Yes, basically. And that you see, especially in that kind of more Hindu community, then it'll be that aspect of goodness. So they just see him as goodness. But he's not, he's transcendental, so they don't understand that. So that's the Satyanarayan puja. They're worshipping the Lord as the Lord of goodness, you know, being goodness. And, you know, then all your Mayavad stuff, that's where the Mayavad comes out, is that he's in goodness. And then the fun part is that I become that. But the point is, if that's also illusion, it's not Brahman, why would you want to become that? You know, this is your, who you are is an illusion, that's also an illusion. So, you know, what's the big deal?
It's a bit of
a better illusion. My illusion is better than your illusion, yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Jai.